listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I say or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. And then the first part of the second stanza, Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. To read today from 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first few verses. We have been reading them for a number of weeks. I'd like to continue to consider them. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray. The apostles taught us to pray. The scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. Have we really begun to pray as we should? And especially as the early church, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. And then, when possible, in one place as well. Listen to these words of Paul as he wrote them first to Timothy, and then they are for us as well. For all scripture is given for us to the end of time. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And then Paul goes on to say whereof he is made a minister, and exhorts Timothy further, The 8th verse states, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'd like to also to read from Romans chapter 13, the first few verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt appraise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. When we think again of the one reason to pray, Paul giving to Timothy, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's only when God is in control, both of leaders and of people, that we can actually have a government that will be a terror to the evil and control the evil and make people have the fear of God, but also, as we read here, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Oh, would to God that every nation had that relationship with leaders and people. And we are far, far from that throughout the world. Let's pray that God will give it in answer to prayer, teaching us to pray. And let's not just think that we earn it because of our prayers. It is only God's means to answer, to give, and to do what's needed in the hearts of kings and all that are in authority. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for blessings given in nations where there is peace and freedom, where there is a quiet and peaceable life that can be lived in godliness and honesty, that we do not have to hide our faith, that we can have it openly, that we can speak today by this means, even of the radio, over this country, and thankfully, reaching into the world where it may otherwise be forbidden. We pray that thou would bless it mightily, overcoming evil leaders, doing as would Pharaoh, causing people to be let go, as Moses could say, let my people go. And Father, thou didst overcome him and even destroy him in his rebellion. And we know that there is no powers that be, as we read from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we know that at times we might ask the question, why are such leaders allowed to be where they are? But we know also that all their time is in thy hand, and it is so far and no further. And it is not only that for them, but also for us. Make us to know it for ourselves as well as the leaders. Make us to know it individually. Make us to know it in our homes. Make us to know it in our churches. Make us to know it in the schools that teach for the present and for the future. We pray, Father, for all of this to be given by thee, by thy word and spirit, and especially by the preaching of the word, that it might be made effectual, that men might tremble before it, and then in the end rejoice in it, preaching repentance toward thee and faith toward Christ. We pray also for the other blessings given, the blessings in nature, the sunshine and the rain, the many things that we have, and especially that we have that others may not have. We think of those where there is a dearth and famine. We think of those where there is flood. We think of those where there has been wind, earthquakes, all the calamities. We think of those where there is war, destroying so much. We pray, Father, for them. We pray also for those that have problems in the home, the troubled homes. We pray especially for the children in those homes. We pray for the older ones and their weakness and their sickness and their lonesomeness, especially those that are widows or widowers. We pray for each and every one, all through Christ, and we pray that the sick might be healed. We pray that the injured also might have that blessing. And where it is not given, there might be the blessing of faith and contentment all through Christ. Amen. I would like to continue with this exhortation of Paul to Timothy, but also to us. Paul could say in the earlier chapter, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." And he mentions certain ones. We see that warning given by Paul to Timothy. We see it be given by Peter. We see it also given by Jude. We read Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints." It is in faith that we must pray. It is in faith also that is not just a trust, but a way of truth. Listen again to the words that Paul wrote to Timothy, "who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, both for their salvation, but for God's glory." Only can we give glory to God in truth. We can't think a lie. We can't believe a lie. We can't be in doubt of the truth. When Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians, the book that is called by their name, Book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 11, in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Believe that he is. He is the God that Paul is saying to pray to. Pray to God through Christ. He is the God that has put all those that are in authority in place. He said, "There's no powers that be but are of God." If we believe that, then we have to believe in the one God, the only true God, the one that said by the pen of Isaiah, "I am God, and beside me there is none other." He is the God of Abraham. And others would say, "Well, we also believe that, but see God differently." But he's also the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, and above all, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is exactly that, Lord, not a secondary prophet. Lord, a prophet that can prophesy and say what's going to come, but also do it. He himself has been given all power, and all the powers that there are here on earth are from him. All power has been given unto him. He has been given the preeminence, as Paul writes to the Colossians, or all given to Christ. Christ on the right hand of the Father, but there, everything being given by the Father to Christ. Given a name which is above every name. And through him we are to pray. Through his payment of sin. As we read here, and we read from the fifth verse of the second chapter, 1 Timothy, "For there is one God, not many gods, also one revelation of God in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. All the rest is, if it contradicts the Bible, it's a lie." And God wants men to come to the truth, who have all men to be saved. Yes, on the one hand, he allows men to go their own way. But he also tells us by the pen of Ezekiel that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He is sovereign. And when we are saved, it is of his grace, his will, only when he changes us even these apostles. They had to have their understanding open on the day of resurrection. This apostle, Paul, was stopped by Christ, changed by Christ, ordained by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. We would have read verse 7, after the sixth verse where we stop, we would read, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." He was also a teacher to the Jews. He often would go to the Gentile cities and find a synagogue in those cities where the Jews were and preach until they would no longer listen. And then he would say, "Seeing you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles." But he also wrote that there will come a time of fullness for that nation. And that's another thing we should pray for. There's many things to pray for. Here, Paul is just zeroing in, as it were, on one thing. And it's a very important thing. So a very important thing, especially for our nation at this time. When we talk this way, we talk another way about this leader, another leader, these leaders, those leaders. We are sadly divided. We are saying those that think differently than us don't do right or don't do anything. We are a very much of a murmuring nation. Let's remember, we aren't just murmuring against those that we differ with. There are no powers that be but are of God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Not just your party, your person. If this party or that group, or this thinking is in control of part of our government, we don't like it. It's different than our own. And we have that. We have a divided government. And often blaming one another. And all of us would like to blame government together. But you know where the change must begin? If we are to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, it's going to change with us. It's going to change from the bottom up and not from the top down. We can have the same leader. Won't necessarily guarantee quiet and peaceable life. We have seen unrest. We've heard unrest. Hopefully this doesn't continue. And hopefully our leaders don't agree with those who are protesting. One segment of society. Yes, there are segments of society that do not obey God. But I don't know of any segment of society that does. I don't. I think we all need to hear the words of Paul when he wrote to the church at Rome. Are we better than they? In no wise. We have together become unprofitable. Unprofitable to the nation. We're mortgaging our future. We're taking our nation away from God together. We're doing it in the church, in the school, in the home, in the government. We are what Paul writes later in the second epistle, opposers of themselves. Yes, others may oppose us, but we are the greatest opposers. It is not without reason that Christ says, "Take the beam out of your own eye, that you might see clearly to take the splinter out of another's eye." We could literally name all the churches, Laodiceans. We all fit in that class. And if each one was given that name, as that church was there at that particular city, we would all have that character. I'm sure that we would all think of ourselves, as Christ said, "You say that you are rich and need of nothing." I know many, many churches that all think they are a little richer than the other, quite a bit richer than the other. Some think that others are so poor that they can't be called a church. no longer a church, or never were a church, but we are. The Lord Jesus said to them, "You say you are rich and in need of nothing, but knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. And is there any, yes, any, that is not really that way? There's not the converts that we would like to see of the young people. And when there are, they're not the kind of converts that there should be." I can remember one man came to our church, coming from another church. He wrote out his conversion. I said, "Well, where did you receive Christ?" I said, "Was it here or there?" "No, well, it was here." I said, "It's not written plainly." The same man had told me about the class that he had learned with another church and told me that they were not spiritual, not very spiritual. I imagine he thought he was. I think he had a beam in his eye. Whether the others had splinters or whether they had a beam with them, I don't know. I don't know them. But we can see it in others. We can see that they're not spiritual. They're not right doctrinally. If they don't have the truth. First of all, we must be saved. I've said that often and many times. Probably say, "Well, he said that too much." How many of you have been saved since I've said it? How many of you have God to be real to you through faith, through the witness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God? How many have what Christ said he would do? When he comes, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. Is the Spirit showing you the things of Christ? Paul is the witness of Christ. Paul is telling us to pray. It's coming from Christ. Are we doing it according to his order? Are we doing it in his name? As if you pray in my name, the Father will hear. That was his message to the apostles the evening of his crucifixion. You can read it. John 14, 15, 16. Over and over he tells, gives that promise. Trusting in him, him alone. He said there, "Without me you can do nothing." Not even pray. We can't pray it without him. He needs to be our teacher. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And he can do nothing. Also, even if we could pray, if we could say an eloquent prayer, a right prayer, a true prayer, could we go directly to God? Could we go on our merit? Could we go as we understand the need? Which party in a country should God listen to? There is one God and one mediator between God and men. We need in the church an awakening to salvation. The Laodiceans called to repent. "Be zealous and repent. See how poor you are, how naked you are, naked before the world." If people are naked, they can't really see themselves unless they have a mirror. But others can see it. And we can all see it of each other. The nakedness of the church, the lack of the fruits of the Spirit, the lack of the Spirit of Christ, the lack of truth in the home. Yes, the home, broken homes. And now many, many living together without marriage, old and young, not just the young, but older as well. Well, we do it for monetary reasons. Are you trusting God or yourself? Are you covetous, wanting more than you can have legitimately, honestly, rightly? Even as We are told by Paul in that 13th chapter of Romans. We are to pay tribute, but we want the government to pay tribute to us. We all think they can pay us. The government's got money. The government's got no money. The government doesn't have enough money of what we pay. It's going in debt, going to other countries. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. What very thing? To do for thee for good. To be a power over evil, a terror to evil. To protect. To have the sword. To pass the death sentence on those who take another's life. Yes, it's here. It was there. God gave it to Noah. He that takes man's life, by man shall his life be taken, or his blood be shed. Here, the sword is not in vain. The government wields the sword. We think the government wields the butter plate and the dishes full of food. And it is doing that. Doing it all over, over and over and over. And then we talk about so many people being obese. We have confusion. Like Daniel said, to us belongeth confusion of faces as it is this day. And some of our worst confusion is in the church, in church organizations, speaking of, well, if we only have this person in government, that will do it. How often has that been done? How often has certain organizations won their way, their candidate? We think of what they can do. Do we know, as Christ said, without me you can do nothing? And that's true also for government officials, that the most important thing is what God will do for each one of them, what he will do through each one of them. And let's remember, as Paul said here, who will have all men to be saved. Prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for as good as it is, interceding and begging God for how bad it is in other areas and some things, in the home, in abortion, in divorce, and other ways of terrible things that I want to bring up today. Our time is gone. But we need all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That includes leaders. Let's think of that instead of just giving money, signing our name, doing this, doing that, voting. We need to pray, pray, pray. First for ourselves, from the bottom up. And then the top will be better. And they will know how to be saved through Christ if we are first.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.